Good morning, Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
I am good. How are you this morning?
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Thank God. You know, recovering a little bit with my back, but everything's doing all right.
Yeah, same all here.
All the stretching.
All the cans. We had a lot of cans.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
So let's start with the cans, and then we'll talk about Parashat Vayigash.
Okay. Sounds good to me. No, it was a beautiful event. You know, at the end of the day, we counted, you know, the amount of cans that we got, and it was phenomenal. You know, we had just under 5,600 cans,
wow,
food cans, that made a difference in people's lives like we can't imagine. I mean, I got calls from the unemployment center, you know, they can't stop thanking the Jewish community for what we've done, and the fact that, you know, now so many more people are able to get, you know, cans of food, which not necessarily they would have got otherwise. And it was just a beautiful event. That was really publicizing, you know, the miracle of Hanukkah, you know, lighting up the lights and then lighting up someone's life, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a great crowd. Everyone came out and, you know, it was showing the true spirit of what Hanukkah truly is really all about. It was beautiful, in my opinion.
Same here, and a lot of people enjoyed it. And you called me last week a celebrity. Now
yes.
You are the celebrity.
I don't know about that. We all are celebrities.
Yeah.
When we all work together, that's what happens, right?
That's it.
So
Parashat Vayigash.
Parashat Vayigash is a fascinating parashat, because, you know, we talk about how Joseph, you know, reveals himself to his brothers, and you know, Judah approaches Joseph to plead for the release of Benjamin, who he was holding, when they have to go back up to the land of Canaan to, you know, bring down his father and so on. And he was offering himself to be a slave to the Egyptian's ruler instead of Benjamin. And upon witnessing his brother's loyalty to one another, Joseph sees, wow, he's willing, Judah is willing to really give himself up for his brother, and reveals his identity to them, and he says, Ani Yosef, I am Joseph.
Yeah.
Oda Zichai, my father's still alive. And obviously the brothers were overcome by shame and remorse. But Joseph, in the way he was, comforted them, and he told them, he said, you know, it's not you who sent me here, it's God. It has been all, you know, ordained, it's all been planned up by heaven to be able to save us and an entire nation from the famine. And the brothers then rush back to Canaan with the news to Yaakov, to Jacob, and he comes with his sons and his family to Egypt, and he reunites with his son after 22 years. And Joseph gathers, you know, the wealth of Egypt by selling the food and seeds during the famine, and Pharaoh gives Jacob's family the fertile country, which was the best at that period of time, which was Goshen,
yeah,
to settle. And all the children of Israel obviously prosper over there, you know, with the grazing and everything. Everything is perfect over there. And it's phenomenal, because if you go and look at Yosef himself, who Yosef was, what he represented, not only did he represent, at that period of time, you know, the most powerful ruler, but he represents something that we have in each and every one of us. And, you know, the story of Joseph revealing himself to his brothers after decades of bitter separation is one of the most dramatic in the Torah. You don't really find such a dramatic story in the Torah besides this. You know, in 22 years earlier, when Joseph was 17 years old, his brothers kidnapped him, threw him into a pit, and then sold him as a slave to the Egyptian merchants in Egypt.
Yeah.
And Joseph spent 12 years in prison, from where he rose to become the viceroy of the country. Now, the moment which he was meeting his brothers was finally the climax of his whole journey. And obviously, like we just said, Joseph could not hold his emotions, and he dismissed from his chambers. He told every single person, you know, that every viceroy person, every big Mamka, a big name in Egypt, had, you know, people staying in his room, guards and butlers and this and that, and he called everyone to leave the room. And he began to weep with such loud sobs that the Egyptians outside could hear him. And Joseph said to his brothers, and they were obviously wondering what is going on in that room. And Joseph said, I am Joseph, is my father still alive? And his brothers were so astounded, they were so, like, speechless, that they couldn't even respond. So, really, we have to really, to understand this whole concept of who Joseph was and why it all happened, we must recall, you know, the idea stated many, many times in with the figures that are depicted in the Torah. Everything that happens in the Torah to people, to the stories, are not just physical people who lived at a certain period of time. They also embody a particular psychological and spiritual forces existing within every single one of our hearts.
Yeah.
And Joseph obviously is described in the Torah as a beautiful and graceful lad. As it says, he was handsome of form and handsome of appearance. And it also continues saying in the Pasuk, he was a master of dreams. And according to the Kabbalah, Joseph symbolizes the pure and sacred soul of us, of every single man. So really, to understand the story of Joseph, we really have to understand, in essence, what is the nature of our own soul? What is the purpose of our soul? Why do we have a soul? And the question is asked many times is, by a lot of people, is what does a soul look like? What elements, you know, of our personality can we attribute to our soul?
Yeah.
And it's brought down, you know, in the Reb Shneur Zalman of the Adi, defines what the soul is, and he says it's a flame, you know, that seeks to depart from its wick and kiss heaven. Like if you take a candle and you light the wick, you light the flame constantly flickers because it wants to go above. If you turn the candle upside down, the flame still tries to go up and then it goes out because, you know, it's fighting against the wax that's pouring on top of it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't just keep facing down and going down, it keeps wanting to go up. And he writes that the soul constitutes the quest in a man to transcend the perimeters of his or her, obviously, their ego, and become absorbed in the source of all existence, which is God. And the soul, in other words, is that dimension of a psyche, if you think about it, that does not need excessive materialism. It doesn't need anything. The only thing that it needs is spirituality. The only thing that it needs is something that they can be constantly connected to God. And it doesn't like this unethical behavior, false facades, all these types of things that we try and impress people, or we try and sort of elude ourselves, impress ourselves by trying to be something different who we really are not. And that's the soul is something that cannot live with these types of attributes. And obviously we need to try and figure out is what are the soul's aspirations? What does the soul really want? And the soul harbors only one single yearning, is that to be able to melt under God's wings, in order to be able to become part of God, to be able to be right there where God is. But yet, we find many times that how many of us, I can talk about, you know, me included, everyone, how many of us are we aware of the existence of such a dimension in our personality? We don't necessarily think about it. We don't necessarily know about it. You know, how many people even listen to what their neshama, to what their soul is trying to tell? And in response, obviously, to the soul's never-ending dream, and our ego, you know, with our schedules, and we don't want to disturb our craving for instant gratification, we so often take the Joseph within us and plunge into a pit. Because we attempt to, you know, relegate the dreams and passions to the subconscious cells of our psyche. We don't necessarily say, you know, we might have a soul, that's very nice, but it's not something that I want to practice right now. It's not something that I need right now. It's something, you know, I'll have it stored in the back of my brain. And if, for whatever reason in one time I'm going to need my neshama, my soul, then I'll know where to find it. And when that does not work, obviously, because we still hear it, silent, please, please, I want to come up, let me come up to God, I want to get some gratification from being with God, we sell our Joseph and our slaves, to foreigners, allowing ourselves to become part of the forces and derive pleasure from something that, if for us, is pleasurable for our body, but not for our neshama.
Yeah, that's a higher level.
Exactly. And think about it. Can you imagine how horrified, you would be if you observed someone taking a little hand of someone, of an adorable infant, and placing it on a burning stove? You would go out of your mind. You'd go crazy. How can someone do that?
Yeah.
And the Hasidic masters describe that each time we utter a lie, each time we humiliate someone, each time we sin, then we're taking this precious, innocent spirituality of our soul and we're putting it through the abuse of torture of putting it over a fire.
Yeah.
And that's what the Joseph is. The Joseph is trying to teach us that we're not here for ourselves. We're not here to be able to have our own pleasures, to be able to do what we desire to do. We're here to be able to serve God. We're here to be able to help other people. We're here to be able to light up someone else's life. And that's really what, the last day of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, which today is the last day, last night was the eighth candle, gives us that message of hope, of light, of lighting up someone else's life. However, even saying all of that, we still have our moments of truth, and in each of our lives, the moment arrives when, our inner Joseph, which we're referring to Joseph as our soul, which was forced into and to conceal its truth for so many years, finally we can't handle it anymore. Finally we just break up. Finally we have to reveal who our really true identity is. And at that moment, we come to discover the sheer beauty and the depth of our soul. And that's how we're able to light up someone else. If we take care of ourselves, if we bring out our neshama, we bring out our, godly soul, we're able to help other people. And the humiliation that the brothers experienced when Joseph revealed himself to them did not stem from the fact that he rebuked them, like, how can you sell me? How can you put me into this exile? It's all your fault. What are you doing? But Joseph's mere appearance to them was such a powerful rebuke. Why? Because for the first time that they realized who it was that they subjected to this most horrific abuse in their heart, and their hearts melted away in shame. Said, how can we sell this Joseph? He was, what a person he was, to be able to become such a person of who we were, to sell him and to become a slave. And it's brought down that when Mashiach comes, when the Messiah comes, we're going to ask ourselves again and again, is how do we allow ourselves to cast such a beautiful and innocent soul into a dark and gloomy pit? Which is referring to, obviously, the world. And based on that, there's so many stories and experiences that you have of people. There's a couple that was, they go around speaking, I forgot their name, but they go around speaking plenty places, and they are, they were converted, if you want to say, you can't really convert, but they converted to Christianity. And they became very, very entrenched in it, very involved in it, and they became very, very high ranked in the Catholic world, and they became pastors, and they would preach a lot and about Christianity, obviously, and everything. And after a while, and that's the lesson of this, is what the story of Yosef is, after a while, what would happen is, they would continue speaking and preaching about it, and after a while, they just broke up. And they just broke up, not broke up together, they broke up in tears.
Yeah.
Like, we can't be doing this anymore. We stole ourselves so much into the pit. And that's it. We can't do it anymore. And they left everything. And now, they're religious people, from people and everything. And they go around speaking about, their adventure, their story.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what Joseph is. Joseph, even though he went down to Egypt, and he went down for a certain purpose, obviously, to be able to save the nations and everything later on, but it was so much for him to handle. He had to break up. He had to reveal himself to his brothers. He could have gone on for so many more years. But that intensity of knowing that my neshama, my soul, is in this pit, I need to get out of here, it can't manage him or can't last.
So that's what?
And that's what, you know, Joseph really emphasizes, our neshama, our soul in this world.
Yeah. That's very nice.
So that's no, I mean, it's a beautiful parasha, you know, and then when his father comes and he gives, you could see how the biggest mitzvah that, you know, that he does when his father's coming, he gives him the most honor, the most kibbutz that you can imagine. And it's a phenomenal story.
I remember as a kid at school, it's such a colorful parasha. It sits in your memory, you can see it almost.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. And that's what the parasha, the portions are supposed to do.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to find the Torah, the Bible is not a philosophy book. It's like, oh yeah, you know, it's beautiful what happened in the history. That's not how it works. The Torah is literally something that we can live every single day of our lives. And not only living every single day of our lives, but even taking the story, for example, the story of Joseph, and applying it to our life of how we can really make a difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives of other people.
Like, for example, to know how to forgive.
Exactly. That's an incredible story just from this thing. You know, you're 100% right. You know, be able to forgive someone who might have done the worst thing to you, but for the sake of strong, for the sake of peace, you put aside your ego a little bit. You put aside your, you know, something that you were upset a little bit, and then you forgive that person. You help someone.
Yeah. Rabbi, services.
Services are Friday night 6 o'clock and Shabbat morning at 9 o'clock. Everyone's welcome anytime. And you know, it's we know it's Thursday. Today we're finishing Hanukkah, but we're going from one Hanukkah straight to Shabbat. So we need to continue the life of Hanukkah, continuing it even onto Shabbat and then for the rest of the year to help us shine the world, light up the world.
Yeah. So, Rabbi, thank you.
No problem. And
we'll have you next week.
God willing.
Thank you again.
All right. Be well. Have a good week.